Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
In this month of February, Streaming Things is brought to you by Chester Copperpot, David Malfara, Rabid Dog in a Barbie Car, Jose Ruben Cruz Rodriguez, Thomas Alexander, Emmy, Valerie, Stanton Valentino, Crystal Trujillo, John Collins, Ghost, Andrew Gray, Jen Robinson, Kate, Chloe Richardson, Kalisha Reeves, Kiki Newton, Kevin Strother, Jeanette Murphy, Casey McCain, and the one and only Enza.
Welcome back. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things, continuing our coverage of The Last of Us on HBO Max, this time with episode 6, titled Can.
That's my Ken right there.
Can. We use that word where we hail from.
Kentucky. The Hollers.
Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yeah, the Hollers.
That's in the name.
That's where the name comes from. My goodness. Them forefathers got it right.
It's like Rome was founded by Romulus and Remus. Legend has it that Kentucky was founded by two brothers, Carl and Tucky. Yes, and somebody approached Carl from Ohio and said, hey, do you know that guy? And he said, yeah, that's my Ken, Tucky.
And thus a state was born.
I thought you were going to press the other one.
No, that deserved a drum roll.
That was off the top. We just finished watching The Last of Us Episode 6. That's how we do it here. For those of you that are new, we watch the episode as a threesome. We have a threesome, if you will, and we go straight to the microphones. Mm-hmm. We don't watch after the episode with Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann. We don't watch the next time, like Episode 7 footage or anything like that.
We don't have time for that and the threesome.
No.
I thought you were going to say we don't wash up.
We don't do that either.
Yeah.
We just hop straight on the mics and talk about the episode that we just saw. What we'll do is we'll go around the table without spoilers for the most part, talk about our overall thoughts. Then we'll dive into a scene-by-scene, play-by-play recap of the episode, followed by three fun little segments. Our Fireflies segment, our top three favorite moments of the episode, and then Bullets and Pills.
Baby!
Our Easter eggs, things from the game and references to the property as a whole that we pull out from this episode. And then finally, our outbreak performance, our favorite performance of the episode. What we see is the breakout in the outbreak show.
Yeah, get it?
That's how it goes down, baby. Please take a moment to rate and review the show where you're listening to this. We're almost to 1,000 reviews on iTunes, well over that on Spotify. Mm-hmm. We really appreciate those of you that have done it already. But there are many, 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 many thousands more that I get it. Life's busy, you know? You just haven't taken the time.
hey,
to press that 5-star button.
Life comes at you fast.
It does. And therapy can get you. you'll get that joke later if you're new here. Yeah, so you can do that. But you can also go to patreon.com/streamingthings if you have solvency in your life and you want to throw a little financial love our way. We would appreciate that. You can subscribe at a variety of tiers, but it's not all for nothing. You get benefits as well. Extra content, access to our Discord, our undying gratitude, handies from Jimmy. Depends on the tier that you sign up for. Mm. That's the lowest tier.
That's the, yeah.
Jimmy's tier.
Most people just decline.
The left hand.
They're like, no thanks.
We call it the stranger. That's a thing as well. You can follow us on social media, on Twitter, @StreamThingPod, all over the place. Just Google it. Use the Googs.
Googs.
We appreciate you guys for being here. We really enjoy talking about The Last of Us. If you didn't know, we also talk about Yellow Jackets each week with our dear friend Madison. That's a ton of fun leading up to season 2 of Yellow Jackets. And if you're watching on the YouTube, you may notice
the YouTube
things look a little different, a little brighter. I don't know if that's the word.
Well, definitely brighter from last week, that's for sure.
Yes.
No, the renovation of the studio continues. So if you are watching this on YouTube, you will notice that we have a little bit more lights. We have some RGB lights, RBG lights,
Ruth Gator Ginsburg.
And they're really, really cool, and it's going to allow us to have much more fun. Like if we're doing Yellow Jackets, boom, we got a yellow light. If we're doing Last of Us, boom, we're back to green lights. Oh my gosh, how crazy is that?
So, all right, let's dive right in, guys. It's late. It's Eastern Standard, late as fuck. Steve.
I have like 4 more hours in my night.
I know, you'd be all right. Lay down your thoughts on the episode. How'd it go for you? Episode 6.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So listeners who follow me on social media might know that I came down with the flu this week. So I started feeling ill on Monday. Tuesday, it was like full blown. It was awful. So I've been laid up for most of this week and I really didn't start feeling better until yesterday. So in that time, I had a lot of, you know, space where I was just chilling out, sitting on my couch, couldn't go anywhere because if I stood up, I felt worse. So I played a lot of The Last of Us video game and I played all the way through Henry and Sam's section. I played all the way through what this episode is. So watching this episode with that so freshly done in my mind was really crazy. I don't think, except for maybe the first episode of Last of Us, I think this is the one that I'm like, oh my gosh, they're just like firing off like every single bit from the game is in this. Like boom, boom, boom. This is in the game. This is in the game. This is in a completely different game. This is in the second game. Stuff like that. There are bullets and pills scattered all over the ground with this episode. And I loved it because, you know, we're really starting to kind of finally get into the real emotional core of the relationship that is Joel and Ellie. You know, we've been building and building and building into it. The barriers have been coming down over the last several episodes, but this is the episode where it's really, okay, they're locked in, they're ride or die, they're father-daughter, basically, right? Mm-hmm. And so now from this point on, the emotional highs are going to be very high whenever we're with them. And I really love seeing them come together. And overall, I love this episode. I don't know if it would be like my favorite. Like, it's not going to knock down the couple of favorites we've had before. But I mean, kind of like when you're sitting around trying to figure out, you know, what's my favorite Game of Thrones episode? It's like, okay, well,
season 3, episode 4.
Well, I mean,
stands.
But the point is, like, they're all great.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The worst Game of Thrones episode is still better than 90% of most of TV, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the case with this show as well. Premier television at the home box office channel.
The golden era of TV. Peak TV. Jimmy, that's your name.
I'm Jimmy.
Jimmy, what did you think of episode 6, my friend?
Not my favorite. Definitely a slower episode. I think I was talking with somebody prior in the week, and we were like, I bet this episode's going to be a little slower than normal, but not to say it wasn't good. Sort of a slow burn, kind of boring, but informative. They definitely were filling in a lot of the relationships between, you know, Ellie and Joel, and then we met up with Tommy. I knew an episode like this was going to exist in this series because it's a lot of information to cram into one season of a show. So I knew it wasn't going to be all action packed. You know, fighting clickers and infected. And there was going to be a lot of relationship building. So this show was, I think it was just slotted to do that. Like, you really find out as we get through the recap, you learn a little bit more about each character, which is definitely needed. So, didn't like it the best, but you know, I'm sure it was needed. So Chris,
I'm trying to think accurately. This is probably the most that I've laughed.
Yeah, I think so.
Throughout the season, you know, and for that, I think especially after the huge explosion of tension release that we had with episode 5, that was just a action packed but also horribly sad, you know, down moment, and a show that's like with constant sadness pummeling. It's, you know, it's sad porn. Like you get your tissues, favorite. You pull out the tissues, but just for your tears, you know. and that's what Last of Us is as a whole. But like this was a good release, I felt like. I mean, it opened with some really hard laughter, like big chuckles, and then kind of kept that consistent, you know. And there is some down moments and some really emotional, especially a huge moment of vulnerability from Joel Miller that we get in this episode. But for the most part, like, I loved it. You know, I think this might be like my third favorite. Under episode 5 and episode 3 for me. It's just like really entertaining, I thought, just to see them be people. And like Steve said, some of it's shot for shot again, you know, brilliant from the game, but also like some pretty big deviations that I'm excited to talk about that I understand narratively and they worked in a really cool way. Cause I think Craig Mazin's always concerned with, what could we do that would be realistic, that mirrors what happens in the game, or that's believable from a character standpoint or from how the world would actually be. So, yeah.
I think the deviations that they do take in this episode are incredibly smart, and I'm huge fans of them. Like if you're looking at this from, and you know, again, this isn't a video game, this is a TV show, right. So you have to work within the confines of your medium and do what works best while also, you know, maintaining true to the story. And I think the changes they did make just really accentuate this medium of television. And I think it's such a great idea.
I wonder how a lot of people are going to take something in particular, and we'll get to it there. I don't want to derail us now. Let's get through this. All right. You guys ready for the recap?
Let's get it.
That'd be cool if we had that as our bumper. I think it'd make the show better, but Steve won't listen to me. So it opens with a flashback of Henry from last episode, and then the fatal gunshot, the scream of Ellie, and then cuts to 3 months later, and there's snow afoot, if you will. And we see a guy I thought was Joel. I don't know how he got a bow. I'm dumb. But he kills a rabbit. He comes into the house, and we see definitely not Joel, guy named Marlon. And his wife sitting in the chair looking a little concerned, but also hilariously not.
Yeah, she was super chill.
And
Marlon, played by Graham Greene.
Yes.
Is one of those actors that is in like everything.
Yeah, I did the Leo DiCaprio point.
Yeah, he's always like minor roles in like every movie ever made.
Yes, he's awesome. And Joel comes in. He's doing basically a home invasion. Let's not tiptoe around what's going on here. But a nice one.
Old behavior, Joel.
Two fingers, pull your pistol out. But the guy was already on it. You know, it was a really cool interplay between those two people. And Joel says, hey, have a seat. I'm looking for my brother. And you know, the guy says, I haven't seen him. He's like, well, I didn't tell you what he looks like yet. Does he look like you? Kind of. Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
you know, and he's like, how you lost if you got a map? You know, it's a lot of fun dialogue there. Ellie's upstairs. Can I come down now? No. And she starts running downstairs.
Who's this little psycho?
Yeah.
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
Gun in hand, ready to go.
Yeah, she's so happy to be able to point her gun.
This couple that they're holding up is like so funny. Like, because
they're hilarious.
You don't expect this to exist in an apocalyptic world. This is a conversation they're having where they're just like being kind of witty little assholes to each other.
He's like, yeah. You made them soup?
Yeah. They were hungry. Yeah. They were
hungry. It's cold out.
He's got a girl. And that's the thing, is it's like, it's really funny, and it's effective for comedic relief. And again, especially after what we had just survived last week. And because they released the episode early, it's been 9 days. So it feels like it's been forever. But it's believable too, because these people are so isolated, living on the farm the way that they do, or the ranch or whatever you call it out west. Their farms ran here. they it's believable that they would have retained much more of their humanity. You know what I mean? And so I thought that was really neat that they had these two people that haven't had to deal with much of this apocalypse shit. And so they're more like normal people than they've ever encountered before.
Yeah, and just the simple fact where he's like, we've been here since before you were even born, son. And the woman's like, I didn't want to come.
Yeah.
Just like
I'm being held against my will.
Yeah, the marital squabbles that still exist between this couple was so adorable. I love them both.
I hate it here. Yeah. It was really cool.
The woman sitting on the couch with her like pink t-shirt, like, I want to be her. She seems to got it all figured out. You know what I'm saying?
Chilling.
Yeah.
Eating soup. Good soup.
Good soup.
And so they instruct them on the map where they're actually at, you know, take the element of them being lost away from them and tell them where it is that they're trying to go, but say, hey, never go past this river here. We see nothing but dead bodies there. We don't know what's killing them, but it's not a good place to go. And then so Joel and Ellie roll out. Ellie makes sure to steal a rabbit on her way out. And then Joel gets really dizzy and leans on the broken fence outside their house. And pauses a lot. Ellie gets really concerned. Hey, you know that I'm going to fucking die without you. Like, let's focus on that here. You know, it's kind of comedic as well.
Yeah.
And she's like, all right, off to the river of death.
We got
to
go find those firefly people.
Yeah.
They're firefly people?
They know nothing of the politics of the new apocalyptic order. It's really refreshing.
So about rabbits and soup.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you need. So they trek. That's my next note. They start trekking through the snow. There's a scene at a campfire where Joel is repairing his boot with some tape. We get to see Ellie gazing fondly at the Aurora Borealis. Correctly named that. Nailed it.
Who is that?
It's really neat looking.
Yeah, I would love. I've never seen it.
Me neither.
Neither have I.
I would love.
Honestly, I wasn't.
Probably what this room looks like right now. So we're basically in it.
One of the shades.
Yeah.
If he clicked the light fast enough, we'd probably feel like we were in it. Like we could be Sally Ride.
Ride, do Sally, it,
do
ride.
It, do oh, it.
Here we go.
Do
here we go. Here we go. It's oh my gosh, it's like an Aurora Borealis in here. What the hell?
Thanks for my hi hat. Yeah, there, I got Jim. You. All right,
it's the rest of the show.
So you didn't know there was gonna be stage production to this podcast now, did you?
She's gazing upon the heavens, and Joel's drinking from a flask at the campfire. Ellie asks for some, just to keep me warm. And he gives Ellie some, even though I did say it while we were watching the show, too. It's annoying, but it's true. I believe alcohol actually lowers your body temperature.
Tricks you.
And it just makes you feel warmer.
Alcohol does that.
However, I'm on Ellie's side. Apocalypse, give me some of that.
Yeah.
This is terrible.
For sure.
And she says, still gross. And then Ellie talks about, you know, the fireflies making a cure out of her blood, out of her immunity. And, you know, so what are we going to do after that, Joel?
What are you going to do after the apocalypse?
He's like, who the fuck is we?
Ooh.
You know?
He doesn't want to be part of this.
You know, I want to raise sheep and you're not invited. And she's like, I don't like sheep anyway. I guess I'll be an astronaut. Is that what she, you know, like?
Yeah, because she brings up Sally Ride. She's talking about like Neil Armstrong.
Sally fucking Ride.
She loves Sally Ride.
That is the best. Well, Buzz Aldrin's a really good astronaut name too.
Buzz Aldrin is great.
It's tough.
Buzz Aldrin's my favorite astronaut.
Look at Jimmy and he's like, Buzz is way better.
Buzz is way cooler.
But if they got married and took her name, his name would be Buzz Ride, and that's way cooler.
Jesus.
Just throwing that out there.
I still love, my favorite thing about Buzz Aldrin was when he was on 30 Rock. Did you ever watch that?
No.
He's briefly on 30 Rock and Tina Fey is like, oh my God, are you Buzz Aldrin? What are you doing? He's like, I'm looking at the moon. And he's, sometimes I like to look at it and just remind myself I walked on its face.
She finally tells Joel about Sam, that she knew he was infected and that she tried to rub her blood into his cut. And he looks concerned about that, but then he seems to understand immediately. And he tries to allay her fears. Marlene's no fool. Get some sleep.
If she says they can do it, they can do it.
He kind of looked grossed out for a second, like when she was. Like, yeah, he's just like,
you put your blood on the kid's wound.
That definitely wasn't going to work. What the fuck,
dumb kid?
I'm not a scientist, but that's damn. You're dumb as shit.
I never had anybody give me that type of medicine before. I don't like it.
And there's I want to talk about something, but I can't because it's kind of spoilers for the end of the first game. But there's a point where they talk about in this scene that conflicts strongly with a lot of people's interpretation of why they hate part two of the game and you know, what their interpretation of what happened at the end of the first game is, but it'd be dangerous to talk about. So let's move on. But then we cut to Joel sleeping. He fell asleep on his watch and he's mumbling in his sleep and he wakes up suddenly and Ellie is standing guard over him, in direct contrast to the time where Joel would stay up and stand guard so she could get some sleep. He at first chastises her, but then he commends her. Like, hey, you did it right. You checked your six. You know, she's like, hey, I looked for tracks. I got high ground. Everything's good, baby.
Just like you taught me.
Just like you taught me. And so they get to the River of Death. They think he fires a test shot, I guess is what that was. See who jumped out at him.
Way to give your position away.
Well, you know, he was like, I got more bullets in case motherfuckers want to see where this bullet came from. I'll show you.
He learned that from Tony.
Yeah. To Sniper Tony taught me everything. I didn't teach you that.
I wouldn't have done a rookie mistake. You just gave away your position, right. Boy. That's not what Tony would do.
You're supposed to shoot at him as soon as you can see him.
Let me tell you what old Tone would do. What he would do is he would find a house at the end of the street. Mm-hmm. He would get up on the highest house with the biggest window. Mm-hmm. And he would sit there for 93 years.
He would.
Yeah.
Make sure you got plenty of bullets.
Greg Mazin's next show is just going to be the life of
Sniper Tone. Tony.
Sniper Tone.
Sniper Tone. That's what they call me back home.
I'm bad to the tone. It's Tony time.
It's Tony.
It's Tony time.
Don't get me started again. That was so fucking funny. The infected are going to cut through this town like a hot knife through butter without me.
And now I'm 6 feet in the dirt.
Good luck, world.
I'm just saying, before, when Tony fell, Kansas City also fell. Coincidence?
And now my watch has ended. He's on the wall, baby. So, yeah. Nobody seems to be there, though, so they head off. And Ellie's trying to teach herself how to whistle. He's like, you suck. You're not doing it. And she asked him to teach her how to hunt. He says, no. You know, you'd probably be okay with the shooting, but I don't know about the dressing. And dressing, by the way, is the word I was trying to think of a few episodes ago. And I think ended up, Steve was just like, you're saying slaughtering? Is that what you're trying to say? But it was dressing, I guess.
Can any of you whistle like that?
I can't whistle at all.
I can whistle like normally, but
not with the two fingers.
Not with the two fingers. I've tried. Oh, yeah, I recently. Can't do
that either. Steve. Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's
oh, you got me there.
Yeah, that's a serious whistle.
That's me.
Oh man. That's me. Nailed it.
That's decent.
Can you do the inhale whistle?
Yeah, I can't do the outhale.
Oh, you can't do the outhale?
Hail. We're supposed to be can, Steve.
We can.
And then they see a dam. And Ellie goes, damn, which is, I appreciate that kind of humor, yeah, that was, as you guys know.
Yeah, that was fun.
And then she says, what if this is the River of Death, Joel? And there's like there's a visual ellipses almost. And then, of course, it is, because then they get rode up on the by a bunch of
the Riders of Rohan.
Yeah, they answered.
Circle them up.
Gondor call for aid? Oh, no, it's just two people. Look like homeless. Get them out of here.
What does an elf, a dwarf, and a lone rider have business in Rohan? Tell me your secret, horse rider, and I shall tell you mine.
Tell me, where is Gandalf? You're not supposed to be here. So they get rode up on. There's a dog that smells infected. He has them sniff out Joel first, and the dog's like, he stinks, but no infection. And then there's a huge moment of tension where they said, now the girl, and we think that the dog is going to smell, you know, the element of the infection that's in her, even though she's immune. He's a dog. He doesn't understand immunities and whatnot. So we don't even really understand that. Mm-hmm. Some people don't even like vaccines in today's day and age, much less a dog understand that. So we're concerned that he might eat jelly.
Mm-hmm. Eat jelly. Yeah.
Ellie.
Can't feed a jelly to a dog.
What do you get if you mix Joel and Ellie?
Jelly.
Jelly.
There you go. That's a celebrity couple name. But do you think so? This scene is really tense.
Yeah.
I felt the tension, like, oh, what's going to, because I didn't know what was going to happen. This isn't in the game, so I don't know exactly what's going on.
Yeah. There was not
I thought
in the game
he was just
going
to fall over. Like, I thought whatever was going on with him was going to make him.
Because there was that high pitched ringing, and I thought maybe his collapsing would stop the dog from smelling her.
So I thought the ringing right away was a panic attack, because the ringing happened before he beat the shit out of the Fedra guard in the first episode.
Did it really?
I didn't catch that.
So, and then that was him having PTSD about Sarah. So I was like, oh, he must be having panic attacks. And then So when that happened, I thought, like, is he about to John Wick all these dudes? Like, out of nowhere? I wish. I don't know if that's going to fit in the world that they've created so far of Last of Us. But then the dog just ended up just being real. He's man's best friend. Yeah. Now he's Ellie's best friend.
Yeah, she just starts giggling.
Do you think this dog actually could smell the infected, or is it just like a clever ruse? Because later on, Tommy's like, we scare people.
Yeah.
I think it could. And you can train dogs to do stuff like that. Like, yeah, they can smell bombs and shit. Right. So I think so.
Okay.
Plus they have cowboy hats and horses. I can just assume they know how to train a dog.
But Ellie is infected, right? Like,
technically.
Yeah. So I feel like the dog should have ate her.
Maybe because the infection has lived inside her so long, it just smells like her now. Yeah. Yeah.
Makes sense.
He just smelled chicken sandwich.
Yeah. Just chicken sandwich.
3 months like, back. Chicken sandwich.
They got Sammy in there.
So yeah, the dog gives his seal of approval to Ellie. She starts giggling and they say, that just bought you 10 seconds. But then Maria,
how could you say that a dog is playing with a child and they're giggling and you're just like, well, that just gives you 10 more seconds before I kill you.
Yeah. I'm still going to shoot you.
I'm going to ignore how cute and adorable this is.
Yeah. I still don't like you. Do we like them? I kind of do. Yeah. Well, you're out.
Well, you know what? They're kind of growing on me and I hate it.
God damn it, Carl. What I tell you, when we form a posse, you can't be a pussy in the posse.
This is why I work alone.
Sniper Tone. That's what they needed on the hilltop, taking out every one of those guys. Well, he would have shot at all of them at least.
Yeah.
You can't shoot for shit. But ultimately,
you shoot all the shots you don't take.
You miss all the shots you do take. Wayne Gretzky was full of shit. You miss every shot you do take sometimes. I'm lonely, Tony, now. But Maria says, what's your name? Because he says he's looking for his brother. She's like, wait, he kind of looks somewhat similar to the guy who put a baby in me. What's your name? And he says, Joel. And she's like, yep, that's his name, too. Shoot him anyway.
Yeah, he's bad.
That's right. She has a very low opinion of Joel, but they take him back into town. They ride into the town. I guess they had two spare horses, thank goodness, because Joel and Ellie each had their own. And we get to see the city of Jackson, which we actually don't see until the Last of Us Part 2 video game, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And finally, his reunion with
Jackson.
I'm going to Jackson. And finally, the reunion with Tommy commences. It's been Joel's personal MacGuffin the entire show. And he embraces his brother, weeps a little. So good to see him.
I love seeing a family reunited. You love to see it.
Damn it, Tommy. I missed you so much. I cradled you every day in my heart.
Get a haircut.
Yeah, you look like shit.
You look like Adam Driver.
Why do you look like Adam Driver?
Have you been watching Girls again? Tommy, I know. I told you not to quit watching Girls.
I told you it's... the politics of that woman, I don't agree with it.
Good soup.
It can be a funny show, though. And then they pound some good food, and Ellie is ecstatic. So, like, I know it's been a while since we've had a good meal, and she's like, I don't know if I've ever had a decent meal. Like, this is incredible. And she's cussing up a storm, and Maria is, like, all the girls in the neighborhood and Maria are just shocked at how she's acting. She carries a pistol. She's like, this food is fucking great. She's farting.
Yeah, she's a cool kid.
Yeah, she's doing all the cool shit. You know, she's seen a porno mag, all kinds of stuff going on. Mm-hmm. She threw it out the window.
She killed a guy?
There's that too. Rite of passage.
Well, she paralyzed a guy.
What? Super crazy. I don't know why I have this in my notes. It's just what exclamation point. It's a quote from Ellie, but I can't remember why she did that. Where she exclaimed. She goes, what?
Oh, it's hilarious. That girl was like,
oh, that's what it is.
Her.
Yeah.
Oh,
it
was
like, what?
What are you looking at?
That was so funny. She just turns to the girl and goes, what?
Yeah.
Super, super, like she's in prison. You know, you can't let them stare at you too long. They'll think you're weak. It's funny shit. And they're just kind of shocked watching them eat. And, you know, she says, I want my gun back. She's like, little girls don't have guns around here. She's like, well, I have a gun. And then so that's where Tommy goes on to explain a bad reputation doesn't mean that you're bad. So they've let people think that they're terrible savages so that they won't come near. But also they have killed a bunch of people that have had, as Maria says, tried them, right? Mm-hmm.
Don't step to this.
And then Joel says, hey, can you step aside for a second? No offense. I think we have a family matter. And then he's like, Maria is family. It's my wife.
Oh, shit. Congrats.
Joel, say congrats.
Oh, shit. Say, oh, shit, oh, congrats.
Yeah, say all of that.
Say, oh, shit.
Joel doesn't really. He looks a little shocked.
I just love how Ellie is so combative and antagonistic towards them, but when she realizes
she's also the most polite.
They just got married. She's like, oh, shit, congrats.
Cool, yeah. Man.
Oh,
cool.
Fuck.
I read about marriage.
I wouldn't have said all that mean stuff if I knew you were married. That's, I love love.
She's defensive. So then they get a tour around the town and we find out that it's easier to control the infected out there in wide open Wyoming. He can shoot them from half a mile. So they cleared out the infected. The place is civilized. They've got electricity from the dam nearby. They've got sewage, plumbing, all that good stuff. Even movies, which is what you need in every good society.
Even sheep.
That's true. God, Joel so jealous of those sheep.
Damn, he's like, that's a nice sheep.
So you like y'all communist or something?
Yeah, that was so the political jokes. I love it.
I love how Tommy's like, no, it's not exactly man, that.
They're from Texas.
Yeah.
You gotta, you know.
And Maria's like, no, it's that.
It's definitely communism.
We're in a commune.
And Tommy looks so sad. Like, dang.
He's like, shit.
I'm a damn communist. And then Maria's on the council. She's not like the leader. In the game, she was like outright the leader, right?
Yeah, she was the head.
Absolutely.
Now she's just on the council for the commune. We see a horse named Shiver, and then Joel leaves Ellie with Maria to go take a shower and stuff, and he says alone time with Tommy. So we cut to Tommy and Joel having drinks at like the local watering hole. Tommy asks about Tess, and Joel lies and says that she's fine, and then he tries to explain yada yada yada. So I got to take this kid to her. She's a Firefly's kid.
Joel's lying to Tommy.
Yeah,
he doesn't come and tell him the truth about anything at first.
I like there's a moment, though, that Tommy knows who Joel is as a person, or at least has been the last 20 years, and says, so you're just out of goodness of your own heart taking this girl there. And he's like, well, there's payment. And Tommy's like, there it is.
Right.
So the University of Eastern Colorado is a week's ride to the south. That's where he's got to go. He wants Tommy to go with him, and he says he can't go. And so Joel says, there's a cool line where he says, I know you're trying to keep out the wrong people. Am I the wrong people, Tommy? And so they talk about their past together, the things that I did. And Tommy says the things that we did, we murdered people. And, you know, that's all we knew, but there were other ways to survive. We just weren't any good at those things. And that's what Maria has shown him. And he says, hey, Maria's pregnant. I'm going to be a father. I got to be more careful. But I think I'll be a good dad. And then Joel is a dick here.
I guess
we'll find out. Honestly, I don't think so. If I was a betting man, I'd say, probably not. I don't know why I talk like Bill Clinton when I'm, if Chris is doing Joel. I did not have sexual relations with that woman.
Well, I did because she's pregnant.
Okay.
I definitely did.
We're counting blowjobs too.
I'm going to go play on my saxophone.
Pretty cool. Yeah, my Joel is suspiciously close to Bill Clinton. Did you say communism? Actually, that's cool. We're all getting along. Sounds like there's a lot of sex.
I really like communes. Is this a naked kind of commune?
I hope so. Mine's out.
I love that Tommy says something about like, hey, you know, just because life stopped for you doesn't mean it has to stop for me. Because
him trying to hurt him after he feels like he's been attacked, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, and rightfully so. And this is the thing that he sees Joel, like the moment Sarah died, that's when like life ended for him. Like
sure.
He's just been existing in this like angry world. He literally has a watch that's broken the moment
time
she died.
Has stopped.
Yeah, time has stopped for this guy. And he's right, because like Tommy is trying to better himself. He's found a really kick-ass commune. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
There's sheep. They're playing movies there.
Yeah, it's like the last bastion of civilization.
Looks like they had everything there, too.
Everything you need. They got
everything but bacon.
Richard Dreyfuss movies.
I didn't see a barber either. Like, I don't think they were.
Maria.
Everybody out of her house. Yeah, everybody looked all shaggy and stuff. You'd think they'd be like, yeah, let's cut some hair.
I mean, what do you, for who? You know?
Tommy.
Shaggy and Scooby. That's all you got. But yeah, they have a falling out, and Joel eventually storms out, and he says, look, I'll be gone first thing in the morning after we grab supplies. And then Tommy's like, who said you can have supplies? So then there's kids and other folks singing Christmas carols outside. Joel's like, what the fuck? And he has one of his other panic attack, another spell, if you will. And he sees a girl in the crowd who looks like Sarah. and he becomes overtaken with grief. We cut to Ellie in a bathrobe. She had a shower. She's living the best life. She finds a note that says, "I'm across the street," which was left by, I assume, Maria. And it looks like, did you notice it's like homemade paper? Like they've been making their own paper.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Because it's all like pressed together looking. And I've seen like, I've bought like hippie journals from recycled paper. And that's what it looks like in my youth. And when I was a communist. And there's a, she gets a Diva cup. It's a gift.
Yeah, Diva cup.
I put period cup thingy. I appreciate you, Jimmy, for saying Diva cup. Reminding me what that's called.
Yep.
And Ellie's like, gross, but like in a cool way. She's been a while since she's been around a woman.
Why did she give her a weird shot glass?
Yeah, she's got a flask. She doesn't need that. She just drinks it straight from the flask. So Ellie, it cuts to Ellie searching the house for Maria, assuming it's across the street. She sees a memorial for a person named Kevin and a woman named Sarah. And she got Ellie a super fucking purple jacket, as Ellie says.
Eggplant.
You like that jacket? That's a super fucking purple jacket. Eggplant.
Eggplant.
She starts cutting Ellie's hair after some mild protestations. We find out that Maria used to be assistant district attorney in what, Utah?
I didn't catch
Nebraska. Somewhere in Nebraska.
Okay, yeah, I can't remember where she said. I didn't write that down.
Yeah,
so but she used to be that. She used to put away bad guys.
Yep. And she tells her that Kevin was her kid and Sarah was Joel's daughter. And the look on Ellie's face, you know, is worth a thousand words. It's really cool. I had forgotten that she didn't know that yet. And there's a cool moment where she's like kind of hinting at who Joel is. And Ellie's like, yeah, he used to fucking kill people. It's like, oh, so he doesn't do that anymore. Well,
not innocent.
Innocent people. He still kills people every now and then. But
yeah, Ellie's getting really defensive of Joel in this moment. Like, no, you don't know who he is. He's a cool dude. That explains some things, though, that he had a daughter. That explains some things about him.
Yeah. He punched some dude to death like one time. Relax.
It was awesome.
And then Maria gives her some good advice. Be careful who you put your faith in. The only people who can betray us are the ones that we trust. Right. So Maria is pretty cold and defensive in her own way. She's kind to other people outwardly. She's interested in rebuilding society. But she's very, I like that about her. Like she used to work in the court system, right? Like she's a district attorney. So in her mind, like Joel still needs to be held accountable for his crimes, right? She's not ready to just forgive him like that, right? And, you know, Ellie points out Tommy was right there with him. He did all that shit too. And she said, no, he was following Joel the way that you are now. And Ellie says, no offense, I'm not as dumb as Tommy.
Yeah, he's a dummy.
He looks like Adam Driver.
You're right. He is pretty dumb.
Yeah, he's dumb as shit.
He's dumb as shit.
But that dick game?
Fire.
Woo, Texas?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Jack's on, Jack's off.
So she takes Ellie to go see a movie. So they got like a movie theater in town and they're playing a Richard Dreyfuss movie. I don't think I've ever seen. You looked it up, right, Steve?
I did.
It's probably a bullet and pill later. And then we cut to Joel. He's in like the fucking
shoe store.
Yeah. He's in the Foot Locker. We're trying to repair his boots. But Tommy's like, don't bother. I brought you a new pair.
Couldn't do this in the game. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
A pair of these. Tommy brings him the new boots and then apologizes. Like, hey, I shouldn't have said that about your daughter. As I'm assuming it's that line that he's referring to. And then Joel's like, is it really that bad on the path south? And Tommy's like, nah, you'll be all right. For what you're capable of, you know, it's a little dangerous, but somebody like you will be just fine. And that's when Joel opens his heart to him. You know, he pours out the truth. She's immune. She's been bitten. It was months ago. I saw it myself. Tommy, it'll save the whole world. If you want what's best for your child, for the world to go back to the way it was or heal itself, you need to do this. And he says, you know, I've been having these panic attacks. I feel like I've always failed Sarah my whole life. Even in my dreams, I'm failing. Like I'm not the man that I used to be. I let some fucking idiot beat me up in Kansas City.
It's too dumb and deaf to not see a kid sneaking up on me.
Yes.
I let some kid killed himself and he did it to protect Ellie and I just stood there watching.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He shot his own brother.
Yeah. That's what he said. Yeah.
I'm weak was an exact quote. I'm just going to get her killed. And he asked Tommy to take her. And I wanted to ask you guys what you think about this, because I can see an army of men that hate The Last of Us Part 2.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hating this scene with a fiery passion.
Oh, of course.
Because it kind of, in their mind, emasculates Joel, like the hero of the game, who is, in the game, a very capable killer. And that's part of what's cool about his character. But in the show, has kind of taken the tactic of kind of like an old man Logan version of Joel. Mm-hmm. Because like they're like, wait, he's 56,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and he's an old dude.
So they're kind of making it like somebody who used to be able to kill 10 men with his bare hands and now cannot. And it's much more accurate and realistic. But I want to know what you guys thought about the changes that they're making.
I liked it a lot. In the game, I mean, obviously it's a game and you're just a powerhouse, right? You're unstoppable. And they don't really tell you much about Joel, but fuck, 20 years of doing that over and over and over, it's got to take a toll on somebody, right? And I really like to get into that kind of stuff within the show. Is, you know, he's deaf in one ear. Who knows what happened? He's having either heart problems or panic attacks, or he's feeling a lot of guilt for the things that he did. And part of that's probably his relationship with Ellie, I think, is bringing a lot of that out. It's reminding him of Sarah. I like it a lot because there are things in the game that you can't explain like this in this medium. So I like it a lot. I like the change.
Steve?
Yeah, I love the change. This is what I was kind of alluding to earlier where I said like they're making changes because this is the medium. Like you said, Jimmy, when you're playing a video game and the point of the game is you're going to be killing like 100 people every hour, right? You need to be like an unstoppable killing force like Joel is. But in a TV show, A, that's not realistic, and B, I don't think it's as interesting of a narrative device to use. So it's much more interesting that here's this guy, he's fallible, he has weaknesses, and he's aware of them. And the idea of this dude that used to be this killing machine, but he's aged now and he can't quite keep up, that is an interesting character development. And that's why I love this so much. I think it's far more interesting, and it really, because in the game, Joel is still trying to get rid of Ellie. He's still trying to offload her onto Tommy so that Tommy can do the work. But in the game, it's more of a selfish, like, I don't want to hang out with this kid.
Yeah, it's not because Tommy can handle himself better.
Yeah, it's just because like he just doesn't want to deal with Ellie.
Yeah. But now it's like this fear that he can't protect her.
Yeah. And this makes this act of him trying to give up on her. Yeah. It's still a little selfish, but you understand it more. It's not just like, oh, that guy's being a dick and doesn't want to live up to his responsibilities. No, he obviously really cares about this girl and does not want to fail her and thinks he's going to. And I think that makes him a much more sympathetic character overall.
Yeah. They don't really humanize Joel at all in the game until the very end. And that's when you really realize. So I think the change, you know, midway through the series and really putting that kind of weight on his character, it's really good.
Yeah, it makes it like Steve said, like the emotional core of the relationship of Joel and Ellie, of this whole story, really kicks into high gear in this episode, but specifically in like this next sequence or starting here. I agree with you guys. I just wanted to call attention to that because I was watching that thinking, oh man, there's going to be some videos tomorrow. You know?
There's so many misogynistic people out there. Like, I mean, the whole reason why so many people hate Part 2 is because of misogyny. And I mean, it's a big thing to bring up currently because nowadays people are like, oh my God, Rihanna is just really making her husband look like a dick. And it's like,
oh yeah,
okay, can we
the British Vogue cover shoot
not do that? That's the dumbest thing to get hung up on. Get so a life, ridiculous. Guys.
But yeah, it's those people, right, for the most part. But I think there's also just people who see Joel as kind of a hero, and, you know, might be disappointed that he doesn't get to handle himself, that they can see, they just know. But I think it's really neat because it kind of acts like if you've played the game, it's kind of like you saw the history, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And now you get to see like the later version of him. It's kind of this cool duality. Mm-hmm. And so like, you know, if you played it, you're like, oh, I know what he can do. And now he's just getting older, you know. That's really neat. I agree with you guys. I just wanted to call attention to it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. I always feel like I'm at my best when I'm hanging out with my kids, when I'm being of service to other people, when I'm talking about TV and film. That makes me feel centered and effective, but that's not always possible because I have to be empowered, prepared to take on everything life throws at me, but I get all out of whack and I need help recentering. I do certain things, 12-step groups, group therapy that help me do that, but other people, normies I call them, they have to seek out other forms of help. I think it's important that everybody do that. And it can be kind of a struggle, like to find the time to find a therapist. How do you even go about doing that? You have to deal with insurances and all kinds of societal blocks to that. And it gives your little brain, my little brain, the excuse I need to not seek that help. And so BetterHelp makes it easier to navigate those blockades. Everything's online. You can just do all the research you want with clicks and screens. I don't have personal experience with BetterHelp, but Steve, you do.
I do. I have used BetterHelp for a couple months now, and it actually was a really, really great tool for me to utilize. I was struggling with codependency, and I didn't even know what codependency was until I started talking about it with my therapist. And through working with her, I was able to set up goals and achieve those goals with her guidance and help. And it was very, very beneficial to me, and I'm a much better off place than I was a couple months ago before I started using BetterHelp.
You are, and I can actually see the difference, and I'm glad that you're doing that. And if you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, it's flexible, affordable, and entirely online. You just fill out a brief questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch at any time. If you're feeling like things aren't working out or it could be better, you can just do that for no additional charge whatsoever. So if you want to live a more empowered life, therapy can get you there. Visit betterhelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings. But Tommy does agree to ultimately take Ellie to Colorado. And we cut to Maria in the movie theater. She sees Tommy entered. She can see something in him has changed. Something's wrong. And she gets pretty annoyed. She steals herself, right? We cut to Ellie reading a diary in a bedroom. And Joel comes in. And she says, why are you still here? And she overheard, I guess she snuck up and heard him talking to Tommy is what we're supposed to understand.
Yeah. She had left the movie theater.
Yeah.
She wasn't feeling Richard Dreyfuss's charm.
I get it. They should have been watching, Krippendorf's Tribe. You've seen that movie?
No.
It's a Dreyfuss movie. Anywho.
Of all the Dreyfuss movies.
I thought for a second they were watching, because it's been a long time since I've seen Close Encounters. And I thought that'd be neat after her, like, space talk. But no.
I thought for a second, I don't know why, because he's only in the movie for, like, a second. But I thought it was The Graduate at first.
It'd be kind of an interesting movie to be showing all those kids.
Just they're all wide-eyed. Yeah.
What is this?
It's Pretty Woman. So what if they're just watching Hook? That'd be fucking awesome. Rufio. Anyway.
You said Hook, and my brain thought of Hutch.
She says, I'm not her, you know. And he immediately gets furious, you know. Shut the fuck up.
He looked like he was going to punch her.
You don't talk about her. And he's like, then he gets mad and reacts and says, you're right. You're not my daughter. I'm not your dad. And peace out, or whatever he says. And he slams the door.
Our separate ways.
Yeah. In the morning, we go our separate ways. Slams his door.
Because they're in a house. Like, I guess if you live in the commune, you get your own house. Because
that's dope.
Tommy's like, we got you up on 38.
It's a left, a right, and then another left.
Yeah. And Ellie's reading the diary of, I guess, the girl that lived in that house before the apocalypse. And it just imagine growing up your whole life in the apocalypse like that, and then you're reading a girl's diary.
Is this what people cared about?
The same age as you, and it's like, why did we care about this stuff? Like, none of this matters.
She's like, yeah. It doesn't say anything about bullets in here.
Yeah.
This is or terrible.
Pills, baby.
What do they do with their time? It's really cool, that juxtaposition, because you get to see that shit doesn't matter anymore, even in our world, right, than it does then to Ellie. Like, Ellie sees the truth of how trivial that is.
Right.
But also we get to like kind of feel like how grateful we should be. And it says a lot. It reminds you like what Ellie really hasn't experienced anything of what we consider what growing up's like. Just a totally different person that we could never understand fully. But we see a quick kind of a montage of putting ornaments on a tree and Joel thinking of Sarah. I love this scene transition where it's just kind of lights out. Oh, excuse me. Lights out. He, if all the places my thumb could have gone. Yeah, it just clicks the light out and then transitions into Ellie dressed the next morning, waiting, sad, knowing what's coming. Tommy arrives to get her, takes her to the stables. Joel's already in the stables and they say, what are you doing here? And Joel says, I came here to steal one of these horses and go. And Tommy's like, I would have given you one. And he's like, I know. But that was 30 minutes ago, and I reckon you should have a choice. And she just says, let's go, and throws her bag in his chest. Yeah. It's a really cool moment. And then he says goodbye to Tommy and gets Tommy's rifle because Maria took mine. I already said you could have it, Joel. And it's kind of a cool brother moment, you know. And we cut to teaching Ellie how to shoot the rifle, you know, wasting those precious bullets, but she's got to know how to defend herself.
How many bullets do they have?
This thing don't even shoot right. They've got as many bullets. You got to carry plenty of bullets.
That's the one rule.
Yeah, that's one thing they learned from Tone.
I had enough bullets to hit everything but my target. I just want to, I wish this scene started maybe 20 minutes earlier so that I could see Joel crafting the giant butt and writing asshole on it. Yeah. And putting it on the scarecrow.
Was that supposed to be a butt?
I don't know.
It definitely looked like a butt.
It looked like a butt to me.
I thought it was just the head of a person who's an asshole.
I thought the bullet was the hole.
That's what I took it as.
Could be. But just the stick and stuff, I thought it was just like a little good scarecrow montage. Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, Ellie can't hit anything with a rifle.
His bullet don't shoot right.
She's like, here, Joel, you do it if you're so good. And he's like telling her, like, you got to do this. You got to squeeze it like you love it. And she's like, you're going to get this thing pregnant? You're going to shoot it.
He looks at her like, that was actually funny.
But he gets a bullseye right on the asshole of the asshole.
And he's like, oh, thank God I hit that. That'd have been so embarrassing. Yeah. Like, that look on his face was genuine. I've been there, like, showing my kids stuff and like, oh, fuck, I hope I can do it.
Yeah.
Yes. I look cool. Like, I remember I was playing basketball with my son the other day, and I'm not a sporter. And he tossed me the ball and I caught it and I bent down, did my little jump shot and swished it. Right.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh, thank God. You know, because it was like a 3-point. It was pretty far away. And he's like, wow, Dad, you're good. And I was like, yeah, pretty decent. I'm not, you know, but he's 9. He has no idea.
Thank God you hit that 3.
Thank goodness.
He was leading you by 2.
That's right. Now he owes me $20. He teaches her how to shoot, and she seems pretty satisfied with that. He says there used to be two main ways of looking at things, because she's kind of asking about how the world worked, and especially, like, you know, economically speaking, because, you know, they were talking about communism earlier, and, you know, everybody either there was two kinds of people. One side wanted to own everything and one side thought that no one should own anything. She says, which one were you? And we know he was the first one because he's from Texas. He said, I wasn't either. I just went to work. And she said, what kind of work did you do? You built things? And he's like, yeah, you know, stores, houses. They called us contractors.
Contractors.
The contractor.
Everybody loved contractors.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pretty cool.
That was a good laugh. We all laughed. Like, so much funny moments in this episode. It was so needed. It's a genius place to put the episode.
People would always say, contractors have the biggest domes.
Yeah. I guess it's true.
I guess it's true. I don't know.
Never seen anybody else's.
Everybody loves contractors.
You were going to say everybody loves dongs for some reason.
Well, that too. That went without saying.
So then they cut to the next scene. He's explaining football to Ellie, and I was all ears so I could finally understand. And then they arrive at the college. The Bighorns is the mascot at this college, right?
Go Bighorns.
It's a type of sheep. I love sheep. And then
that's true. He wouldn't know the difference of sheep.
Yeah. This next scene was so spot on from the game when they're approaching this like arched gate area. That's a huge part of the game where you have to like run around all these little alcoves and stuff. And there's never any fucking loot in them. And it kept making me mad.
Yeah.
Cause I'm a paranoid, like open world looter
on the college.
So I would get off my horse and run around all these areas you're not supposed to constantly trying to like, oh, I don't want to miss anything.
Oh, I found a firefly dog tag. Yeah.
Sweet. Yeah. But then there's like a section where you have to like sneak around and get one of those generators turned on and open the gate. It's one of those sections in the game. And they showed it like it was the exact gate. I know it was. And it was super satisfying to watch. But they see all these monkeys and shit everywhere, just monkeying around, which is pretty neat.
Test monkeys.
Yeah. And in the game, you find out that's what they are. Yes.
Yeah. The monkeys are infected.
And he's like, oh, good thing we didn't run into any of them. One-on-one or something like that.
Yeah.
But in the show, he's immediately like, oh, they must have been using them for testing. I know how science works. And we see a firefly symbol on the science building sign, which they're just doing extra work with that stencil left and right.
I was going to say, then you see them everywhere.
Absolutely. They're just doing all the work.
I wish we saw a really shitty firefly at least once. What the fuck is that?
It's a firefly?
Is that a smudge?
Is that a bee?
Ladybug.
And then they find actual like doctor stuff, which was really on the nose. Like there's,
I love Ellie walking up to the table. Doctors definitely were here.
Yeah, look, there's test tubes.
There are Bunsens. There are beakers.
There's a stethoscope. A gurney tipped over because they must have left in a hurry.
There's also one of those like big clown shoes. I don't know what that's about.
Patch Adams.
Yeah, you got there. I'm so glad you got there.
And then here's a packing list to indicate that they left, right? And then they hear metal clanging in the distance and they run up there, but there's just monkeys monkeying around. And they see a giant map to Salt Lake City. That must be where the Fireflies had moved their operation to.
All pins lead to Salt Lake City.
And then they hear raiders sneaking up. And so
you know they're raiders because they're all wearing their hoods.
And they're shady as fuck looking with bats. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes baseball in the apocalypse unless they're up to no good. Mm-hmm. That's a damn... Oh, that's probably a bullet and pill.
Come out and play.
Warriors. Can you dig it? And then they run outside to get to the horse and they're unable to take off though, because Joel gets run up on again. And Ellie says, Joel, and he turns around, beats the fuck out of this dude and snaps his neck. He's still got it. But he got stabbed because the guy hits a tree accidentally while swinging at Joel.
I thought he was going to hit the horse.
I thought he was going to beam that horse in the head.
I was terrified for that horse. I
might have done that in Red Dead Redemption.
I might have like just exhaled. Oh, yeah. Oh, thank God, Shimmer.
Never the animal. What if a monkey jumped off the roof like and defended Joel?
This would be a cooler movie.
Let me direct this.
Let the gorilla decide. That was a deep Congo reference.
Hell yeah. I'm good.
No.
Wasn't the gorilla's name Sarah?
No. Lucy, wasn't it?
No.
I thought it was Amy.
Amy, I think you're right. Amy.
And then Tim Curry just has attack eyebrows and a Russian accent.
Yeah.
What the gorilla this had.
So then he snaps the bat. So when he broke the bat, I guess he was still holding the base of the bat, the handle, and then he had stabbed Joel with that in the tussle. Mm-hmm. And I believe it's on the right side. So the liver, it's the liver? Or is that the spleen? Because stomach's on your left, right it's under your
sciatica.
Heart.
Sciatica.
My sciatica. Hit me right here, Ellie. But they do get off successfully on the horse and Ellie.
Whoa.
No.
They escape on the horse. Poor choice of words. And Ellie's kind of firing her gun pointlessly. She didn't hit anybody, I don't think. And they do escape, though, but until they get to some train tracks a few miles out, she says, hey, they're not following us. And Joel looks fucking terrible. He's been bleeding out the whole time.
Yeah, immediately he's ghost white.
Falls off the horse unconscious. And she says, I'm going to fucking die. I can't do this without you. And she's crying. And then the episode ends to some slick 80s music. And that's all we get.
Depeche Mode.
That's all she wrote. So now it's time for our Fireflies.
Yeah, let's do it.
Our Fireflies, baby. Our top three favorite moments of episode 6. Steve, kick us off. What's your number three?
My number three Firefly is Joel's confession to Tommy. When he's in the shoe repair shop and he's finally breaking down and he's revealing to Tommy, like, I'm not the man I once was. I'm deaf. I'm older. I'm weaker. I'm slower. I let this guy sneak up on me. I let this kid kill his own brother to protect Ellie. Like, all these things. And you can just see this man kind of unraveling and falling apart because he knows he, or at least he believes he can't protect her anymore. And it's giving him all the PTSD of losing his own daughter. And you just watching that scene unfold and Pedro's acting in it is just so heartbreaking. And I honestly was tearing up. I didn't full on cry, but this is the second time this show has made me get weepy, you know? And it's mostly
because you're weak, like Joel.
I'm weak, Tommy. Won't you watch Last of Us for me?
I can't do it anymore, weak. Tommy. I watched Homeward Bound last night.
Oh, fuck.
He had the porcupine things in his lips.
When the old dog gets above the hill at the end.
Stop, Tommy.
That's my number three.
I even like the cat. I'll tell you, I'm changed. Jimmy, what's your number three?
My number three, to switch gears, is a really small part, but it's really funny. And it made me think of something personal. Is when Ellie was messing with the Diva Cup. I've been in that situation where I found my wife's Diva Cup, and I literally pulled it out of the thing and was flipping it around and reading the directions and looking at it like, what the hell is this thing? So I thought that was interesting, just to see and to remind us that Ellie really doesn't know what the fuck's going on out there. Like, she's new to pretty much everything. She lived in a QZ, and she's constantly learning more. So I thought that was really neat. Chris,
My number three is the opening scene with Marlon and his wife, the home invasion, the Joel invasion.
Joel invasion.
It was just such a good way to open the episode after the heartbreak of episode 5. And, you know, just one of the funniest scenes that I've seen in any show. I mean, that was a really well acted. There's not much going on as far as like quips, but just the energy of everybody in that scene. Every line hit. And you just, you cared for that couple, you know, you wanted to hang out with them and eat soup immediately. And it was such a beautiful thing to see. I needed that desperately. So that's my number three. Steve, you're number two.
That's my number two, is the opening scene with the older couple. They're just so much fun. And there's such a breath of fresh air. Kind of like you said, like, last episode landed on such a sad, dour note. To have this kind of like breath of levity to really kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is, we can have
keep
fun
it chugging.
We can have fun in the show. Was much needed, and I really appreciated it. And I didn't expect to see these characters aren't in the game, so they were welcome additions that I really enjoyed. And just like, oh, there are Firefly people.
She was great.
What about
she,
any Fireflies?
Fireflies.
She catch those at night.
They come out in the summertime.
Yeah,
she might be my spirit animal. So like, yeah. I love her. She is living life.
Did we ever catch her name? I don't think we did.
I don't. I only saw Marlon.
Yeah, that's because I know the actor's name, so I was able to find him on IMDb. I'm like, Marlon, but I don't know that actress, so I can't tell.
And Jimmy, what's your number two?
Ooh, it might be Florence. Yeah, it's Florence,
and played the machine.
By Elaine Miles.
Nice, Florence and Marlon. I want to see that.
Beautiful couple.
I want to see that bottle episode. Just them cooking soup and hunting rabbits.
Hell yeah.
My second was Ellie's choice. That interaction where Joel was inside the stable. And it was just really neat to see, like, all right, he's made the decision. Like, nobody else is going to finish this except me. I mean, I'm pretty sure he knew the answer to that question that he was going to ask. You know, I'll give you the choice. And Ellie's reaction was immediate. Like, she cares for him, and she wants, she looks up to him. She wants to be like him. And she's learning a lot from him. And she immediately, before he could get the words out, was like, you. And they hopped on and rode off in the sunset. So I really liked that part.
Yeah, that's my number two as well, is when Joel decides to take Ellie, that moment in the stables, because he's really vulnerable. Not only... he does assume that she's going to choose him, but not really. He pissed her off the night before, right? And so it's like, he doesn't want to just say, he kind of shyly is saying, well, it's up to you. Like, if you want to be my friend still, you know?
Definitely been there before.
It's so cool to see, you know, that vulnerability from Joel. But then with how quickly she says, let's go, you know, it's like I got choked up, like, you know, absolutely. I love you. I love you, man.
I love you, dog.
I love you, dad. But also, it's what's best for Tommy. Stay with your wife. Raise your kids. Stay where it's safe. Like,
yeah.
Take my bullshit elsewhere, you know. And it's this moment does happen in the game, but it happened in the show much faster. There's a whole sequence that happens between him asking Tommy to take her and him deciding to go with her. And they took that out. And I really, so it kind of came as a surprise and was really cool. Cause I thought she was going to, you know, steal a horse and run in the stables.
Yeah.
And to see Joel standing there, I was like, oh, what's going on? Really cool. Really neat. Steve, what's your number one, your favorite moment?
My number one favorite moment is the I'm not your daughter, Joel sequence. When Ellie confronts Joel and says, hey, it starts with the diary of like of her not one her wondering what life was like before the apocalypse. But then saying like, hey, I'm not your daughter. Why do you want to get rid of me? Why haven't you left yet? I only feel safe with you. Everyone that I've cared for or loved before this is either dead or left me except for you. And that's such a pivotal part of the game, but the pivotal part of the story, because Joel still hasn't kind of come to terms with like, you know, this is my mission. I do want to do this. In the show, he doesn't feel like he's up to the challenge. But the way, you know, Ellie kind of comes together and kind of proves to him like, no, I need you. You are the person I'm safest with. And it's that scene is so well acted. It's so well written too. And I just love it so much. It's one of my favorite parts in the game, and it's one of my favorite parts in the show so far too.
My number one was the Joel's confession in the shoe repair shop. I'd been following this character for so long, and you never see that kind of side of him, right? And to see somebody who is, I mean, he's obviously feeling guilt for the things that he did. He's just super broken down, unhealthy, and just kind of asking for help, like, just take this burden off of me. I've never asked you for anything. I can't do it, you know. And for him to you know, really, really reach out to Tommy and just kind of try to, you know, unload that, it's just something you won't see in a game, you know. As the protagonist, you won't see that kind of emotion come out of somebody. And I think Pedro killed it in that moment, did really well.
That's my number one moment as well. I mean, you said it all, but just to get uncomfortably personal, if you'll allow me for just a moment.
Please,
you
know, do. I'll allow it.
Your Honor.
Objection.
If it please the court. My dad was an extremely tough person, like super hardcore. He had, you know, he had all these prison
tats. No snitches.
Yeah.
You told that story last episode.
Exactly. He had all these prison tats and a very quiet, stern person, but also really sweet. But like only I knew that. And then my mom. But so my dad was really tough his whole life. He would come home with all these mortar burns because he was a stonemason. My dad, we were very poor. We didn't have insurance or anything. He would pull his own teeth with pliers.
Jesus.
Because he had like really bad abscess teeth. So he would just go in the bathroom, and I cannot imagine like the pain tolerance and the strength that man had. He was a nut, dude. I'm telling you.
That hurts. Ow. Thinking about it.
Yeah.
But there was a moment.
I stubbed my toe this morning, and I had to lay down for 3 hours.
Right. But when I was older, when I was a man and I had my son, I went to visit my dad, and he had a heart attack the night before. I found out later, because that's what ultimately killed him, is the next day, another one. But my dad always was they called him Eeyore, because he was always like, I'm just ready to die, son, you know? But when I went to visit him.
You know that classic Eeyore line? I'm ready to die. Hey, Piglet.
Hey.
I woke up again.
Just kill me now.
I woke up again, Winnie. So, yeah, but my dad, he was crying, and he was like, you know, I've been fucking saying that shit for years, but I don't want to die. You know, I'm not ready. And he was being really vulnerable with me in a way that I'd never seen. Anyway, all that is to say is that's what this scene reminded me of when Joel was in the shop or whatever, opening up to Tommy, just terrified that he can't protect that he's changed. He's lost his ability to handle himself. And he's all, I can't lose another daughter. I can't. Please help. You know what I mean? Take her. I can't do that again. I don't think I can protect her. You know what I mean? And just that level, you could see it in Pedro Pascal's eyes. Like, it was an incredible performance. Like, just like the panic, because ultimately I'm only in my 30s, but I have still lived long enough to know that, like, I will, at least I think I will always feel like the little boy. You know what I mean? I feel like seven in my brain. Like, there's never a point where you're like, oh, I'm mad now. Like, there's the same like fake sense of consciousness in your brain at all times.
Yeah.
And so I found like when I realized that my dad just felt like a little boy, but was in his 50s trying to figure out how we were going to pay rent and stuff. Like, I started to have so much empathy for him. Like, holy shit, that must've been tough, you know? And now I just see Joel, like, he's just like little Joel boy, you know, having gone through all that. And like, you get to see a window into that. I don't know. I know I'm rambling, but I just thought it was really fucking powerful. I could see an innate and indescribable human experience that I, you know, I can't put words to in that performance, in that moment. And it was very powerful. That's all I was trying to say. I know I droned on. Sorry about that.
No, that was great, man.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Thank you for sharing.
On that same note, let's go to Bullets and Pills, baby.
Pills, baby.
Little Easter eggs from the game that we noticed and picked up on. Let's go around the room one at a time until we run out. Let's start with Jimmy. Let's get you a good one, buddy.
I liked the astronomy reference. I mean, without diving too much into it, because it's a big part of the second game, Ellie is really big into space. And I thought
that, I didn't get there yet.
I thought that was really cool that they dipped that in there. Like, you know, for her to talk about Sally Ride and the moon and all that. I thought that was really neat.
Did she, like, talk about Sally Ride in the game?
No.
The second game? Okay.
No, but that is one of the best parts of the game. Yeah. Is the astronaut section.
Yeah.
Moving on to me, in the opening scene with, what was his name? Marlon?
Is that, yes,
what he decided? Joel does the map trick where he goes to someone and says, hey, where's this thing? Point on a map. And then I'm going to ask somebody else to point at the same spot. Oh, and if your stories don't line up, I'll kill you. That's what they do in the game.
But I didn't even catch that. Yeah.
But in this, it's funny that in the show, they use this like very dramatic. They use it a couple times in both last week's games. Yeah. The map pointing thing. It's always very dramatic in the game. But in here, it was just kind of like, hey, I already asked Florence. Yeah. Can you please point on the map as well? I hope it lines up because you guys seem kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super brutal in the game. It's like, don't pick the same thing that dead guy over there picked. So. Yeah.
But that, yeah, that's mine. Chris, do you have one?
I do. I'm trying to think of which one to use. So this one might not even be right, but here's what I think it is. Skip ahead 30 seconds, minor spoiler for tomorrow's episode, just in case. But I want to include it. I don't think it's like it's a big thing, Steve, but I just want to say it just in case. When Ellie drinks the liquor, she takes the sip and she says, still gross, right? We've never seen her drink liquor in the show. So what I think that's in reference to is the prequel where she's hanging out with her friend Riley. Because in the game, you get some alcohol and you can choose whether or not you want to drink it.
Okay.
And I actually chose not to in the game, but I don't think it matters. Did you drink it?
I don't. I haven't played the new one, like the remastered. The
Left Behind. Yeah. So I think that's what it is. Like, we're going to see her take a sip with Riley.
Hell yeah.
And this is really clever for her to go, still gross, just offhand, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
I didn't pick up on that. That's good.
Jimmy.
Shimmer, the horse is from Shimmer, the second game. So it was really neat. It was the young one, right? That's not the one they were riding. It was
it's just in the stables. Yeah.
It was like a young horse, right? So obviously
a pony,
the horse in the first game, the horse that they ride is named Callus.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah. Deep cut.
It's a terrible name for a horse. Still don't like that name.
Yeah. Steve.
Just the fact that Marlon was catching a white rabbit.
Yeah,
good one.
The white rabbit is a
it's a song.
It's a song. It's a visually catching moment in the game. Like, yeah. it's
iconic.
It's, yeah, like, because a lot of people are like, oh, look, a bunny. It's dead because yeah. Ellie's hunting.
Have you ever seen that video of that streamer woman playing?
No,
it's so fucking funny because you know, it's like a cutscene where the rabbit.
Yeah, it pops its out. Head out yeah. of its hole. It's and super she goes, cute.
It's like, oh, it's winter.
Aww. And then the arrow goes
right into its neck.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that's an often memed cutscene. Just because, yeah, it's an adorable bunny, and then Ellie immediately kills it for food.
Yes. So we've already said Shimmer. I think. Oh, the bat. So that's what I wanted. I wrote down at the last second. Oh, so, the yeah, the raiders that show up, and the guy swings like a bat covered in like barbed wire at Joel. In the game, you can find bats and boards and stuff, and you can actually fabricate them with barbed wire and nails and stuff and make them one hit kill clickers and last longer.
You can create different bats too. That's what I liked so much about it. Like, you could make one that had like a buzz saw in it. And I always wanted to make that one. I was like, that's definitely doing the most damage.
Absolutely.
Jimmy.
So I don't know. This is probably just digging too deep or overthinking it, but that scene where they're sitting at the picnic table or the table when you first, you know, Tommy, Ellie and all them are sitting there in Jackson, and that little girl that kind of peeks in and Ellie's like, what? Looks a lot like a character from the second game.
Dina?
Yeah. So I didn't really want to throw that out there.
I thought so too.
Yeah. So I was like, maybe it was Dina.
I think she looked
really, really interested.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And, you know, she looked a lot like the character from the game. So
I agree. They
were just like, you know, let's throw her in there.
I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
That's a good pull. I didn't even pick up on that. Joel using duct tape.
Yeah.
Yep.
One of the main things you collect in the game to craft things, and it is just kind of neat to see Joel using duct tape to craft his shoes to be better.
Yeah. Wish you could have done that. Was he doing it to fix them or keep them warm? Like keep them
fix them because the sole was coming apart.
Yeah, because he's walking a lot.
Yeah.
I chose the rest of them are just kind of, you know, obvious or deep pools or whatever, but like I put Winter in the game. So we could talk about, hold on. They moved the seasons around in the show.
Slightly, yeah.
Just slightly, yeah. Because the winter doesn't occur until after Joel gets hurt in the game. And that's quite a long sequence of fall. And the seasons kind of matter thematically too. So it is kind of worth talking about a little bit.
Yeah.
But it just was interesting because it throws you off as someone who played the game very recently. When you see the snow open in this episode, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. Oh, I know where we are. Yeah. Oh, no, we're not there
yet. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Jimmy, you got anything else?
Yes. Obviously, the Bighorns, that whole...
Go Bighorns.
Yeah. That whole scenario where they're, you know, they're walking, they're on the horsebacks, like you were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Even the logo is exactly the same.
Yep.
That whole thing is just pulled straight from the game, which is really neat. So
yeah, literally the talk about what college is,
yeah,
the Bighorns logo, the monkey conversation,
yeah,
the monkey jump scare that happens later.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of that directly pulled out of that sequence in the game.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of throw out the wardrobe in general. Everyone in this robe in this episode is wearing wardrobes accurate gear, like from Tommy's blue jean bomber jacket.
Oh, nice.
Joel's winter coat, that tan coat that he wears. Ellie gets into that pink and white striped hoodie at one point.
Yeah.
That is a hoodie that she wears a lot in the games. Very, very costume accurate in this episode.
I was hoping you were going to say really fucking purple jacket.
Really, it's eggplant. Really fucking eggplant jacket.
I don't really have anything else except for, I believe, and this might be one of those obvious things, I think Ellie does read a diary in the game.
Yeah,
does
my say, last one.
And then the dam, sure.
Oh, I have a ton. I have a ton more. Do you have any more?
Run it.
Okay. Ellie learning how to whistle. A lot of the interstitial sort of conversations between Joel and Ellie, like in this episode, happen in the game at different parts. Like the whistling conversation is one of the first conversations they ever have when they're by themselves in the game. And so it was word for word taken from there.
Yeah, there are like sub conversations that you can actually get an achievement for
doing
all of them, like mm-hmm. little triangle will pop up above her head and she'll ask you a question. So
absolutely. And then when he's teaching her what football is, that is also the same type of thing. Let's see the dam, the whole dam sequence. So in the game, you meet Marlene and Tommy at the dam.
Yeah.
In the first game, you actually don't see Jackson at all. You just hear them like, hey, we're at this dam. We're trying to fix it so we can get power to this commune we have. It's really, really great. You're gonna love it, but you don't really see it. You see it from far away, but you don't get to go into it until the second game. And then there's this funny conversation with Joel and Ellie where Joel's like, listen, I know what a dam does. I don't know how it works. And yeah. that was a fun little thing they have. Speaking of Jackson, in Jackson, the overall look is very accurate, even down to the snowmen.
Yeah.
And like the kids throwing snowballs at each other. Like there's an extended snowball fight sequence in the second game where you play as Ellie having a snowball fight with the kids in Jackson.
Somebody did a mod where she's shooting them or no, throwing Molotov cocktails. And it's so fucking funny because they're burning and she and going, you got me.
I really fucking hate that kid. Yeah. Tommy's big ass sniper rifle. That's what he carries in the game. In the room that Ellie is reading the diary in, there is a Hocus Pocus sticker like the movie. For Hocus Pocus that I thought was like, oh, hey,
I didn't catch that.
Love that movie. The movie they are watching in Jackson is The Goodbye Girl from 1977, starring Richard Dreyfuss. Have either of you seen that movie? Because I have not. So.
I have not, but I'm proud that as soon as I heard his voice, I was like, is that Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh, yeah, you and I both were like,
Richard and you were like, I think
Dick
so.
Dick Dreyfuss?
Yeah, Dick.
Is that
Dick.
Old Dick?
I love that movie.
I saw that movie when I was 70.
At the premiere.
That was the ripe young age of 70.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dick Dreyfuss.
I actually was 3 blocks away, but I'm a sniper, so I watched it through my scope.
Through my scope, yep. I imagine myself taking a headshot on Dick Dreyfuss the whole time.
Of course I missed.
The ending song, the Depeche Mode song, Never Let Me Down Again.
Come on, lay it on us.
That's a double whammy. Pill. One, because it's a Depeche Mode song. We love it. Number two, that is the song that ended episode one. That was the song that started playing on the radio that went from Bill's. I guess Bill played that song to let them know there's trouble. Because he died.
And it auto-played.
It auto-played, and he was dead. And that 80s song was supposed to signify there's bad times afoot, and if you know the story of the game, that is very accurate. There are some bad times coming. It's winter.
Yeah.
Winter is coming, Chris.
Oh, God. The Stark House words.
Oh, my gosh. That's never a good thing. It triggered me. I got a couple more. Joel choking out the guy is the, you know, the stealth animation.
Oh, yeah.
That's the move that he does. And then at one point, Joel, or maybe Ellie finds it, the packing list. Like, these are things you would pack up to
Joel move finds out. It, yeah.
You actually pick up that list in the game and look at it. And
he's like, packing list.
It's funny. He's like, this is what they made when they're packing stuff.
Yeah.
it's like a packing list. Yeah.
Oh, really? What could else could it have been? But that's the last Easter egg I have.
Man, went hard.
Yeah,
I didn't catch any of that.
Isn't the sheep a thing? Like, isn't there like a ba moment in the game?
Ooh, I think in one of the games,
being dead ass.
I think it might have been. It might be the second game.
I think it's the second one in the town.
You can quote unquote pet a sheep.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Triangle to pet.
See, you're laughing at me for no damn reason.
I was thinking of a DLC about sheep.
That brings us to our last segment, the outbreak performance, our favorite performance of the episode, Jimmy.
Without a doubt, Pedro Pascal. I think that whole scene really pushed it. I mean, we haven't seen that level of emotion from his character, obviously because of who his character is, but he just kind of broke down and just let loose. And I think he did a really good job. And yeah, I really liked his performance overall.
Is this going to be one of those times where we all three pick the same person?
I chose Florence.
Oh, good choice. She's my spirit animal.
I chose Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, it's got to be Pedro. I mean, just for that scene of him confessing alone. Yeah. Like, just, I mean, he had that glassy, watery, those glassy, watery eyes the whole time.
Yeah, it's incredible.
He's like, I can't do this. Like, your heart breaks for the man right there. And then when he and when Ellie tells him, like, you know, I'm not her, and the way he's just like, you don't know what loss is. Yeah. Like, you can just, the raw pain that drives that man. You feel it. You want to reach to the, and because it's Pedro Pascal, you want to reach through the screen. You want to give him a hug because that's the hottest guy I've ever seen. Oh my God.
Super can't wait nice. For the edits. Yeah. I mean, it just a powerhouse performance and everybody's going to be talking about it for a long, long time. But yeah, I think that's it. That brings us to the close of our episode 6 coverage. Thank you guys for listening. As always, don't forget to email the show again at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. Follow us on the Twitter @streamthingpod. You can follow me on Instagram @moviesaretherapy and Steve
@_May05.
Boom. And Jimmy.
Oh my God.
That's right. That's right. And you can go, if you can, to patreon.com/streamingthings and subscribe. If you can support us that way, that's wonderful. If not, you can do so for free by just listening to us and rating and reviewing the show. We love you all.
But also, if you want to give us money, you can also visit our merch store and get our Last of Us T-shirt.
Pills, baby.
Ooh. Shirt that is only going to be available while we cover The Last of Us. So get it while you can.
Mine's shipping. So I got a notification. I should be getting mine.
I need
soon.
To buy one while I can. So yeah. I can have that.
Or send us Arby's money. That's great too.
That was yummy. Yeah. But we are trying to lose.
I ordered a shirt, but I got Arby's instead.
I went to Arby's and all I got was this stupid shirt. It says meat, baby.
The meats, baby.
That's all the time we have for right now. My name is Chris.
I'm Jimmy.
And I'm Steve.
And this is Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
It's the end of the episode in the month of February, the month of love. So it's time to show some love to our brand new patrons this month. In our Try Before You Deny section, we welcome David Malfara. The Marty B VIP producers, we welcome Tanmay Jane, Garrett Pratt, Michael Brook, Professor Beth RN, Veronica, Ode Bionkers, Ibsliz, Droog, Samuel T, Drew Watkins, Brett Logue, Joseph Bowen, Kaylee Sampson, Nick, and Stephanie Bennett. In the Chocolate Pudding Producers section, we welcome none other than Renzo 20, Claudia Garver, Kristen Glenn, Amanda Brown, John Cavett, Bruce Cullum, Maria Rojas, Candace Hensley, Logan Loftus, Hannah W., Kenneth Singletary, Matthew Unden, Carol Ann Quinn, Dan Wells, Max Grabinski, Kelly Nealon, Hannah T.S., Aurelio Reyes, Valerie Frazier, and Andrew Edelman. And finally, in the Friends Don't Lie producers tier, we welcome Baby Bella Twinkie Butt of Spotty Bottom. Maybe the greatest patron name in the history of patron names. And that has been our brand new patrons that we want to show our love to. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.